Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, May 17th, Pope Leo XIV upholds the Church's social teaching as a beacon for discerning the ongoing digital revolution. Talks are underway in Turkey to seek peace in war-torn Ukraine, and Peruvian faithful join Catholics worldwide in their joy and excitement for the inauguration mass of Pope Leo's pontificate. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. The Centesimus Annus Pro Pontefice Foundation held its 2025 General Assembly and International Conference this week in Rome, and the last day kicked off with an audience with Pope Leo XIV. As Kelsey Gussie reports, the Pope focused his message on the theme's connection to the heart of Catholic social doctrine.
Good morning, everyone. Buongiorno.
Pope Leo challenged the foundation members to help each other in the mission he spoke of the night he was elected, that of building bridges through dialogue and encounter, uniting all people to be one, always in peace. During his speech, the pontiff remembered his predecessor, Pope Leo XIII, who sought to contribute to peace by promoting social dialogue in the midst of the struggles of his time in history. But modern times are no different. The Holy Father recalled how Pope Francis described our modern day as a polycrisis, filled with war, climate crises, growing inequality, forced migration, poverty, and lessened rights. In the midst of these societal and environmental challenges, the Church's social doctrine offers interpretive keys that bring science and conscience into dialogue.
La dottrina sociale, infatti, ci educa a riconoscere che più importante dei problemi o delle risposte a essi è il modo in cui...
Pope Leo XIV reminded the Foundation members that what matters more than the problems is how people respond to them. By using ethical principles, sound criteria for evaluation, and openness to God's grace. In his message, the Pope warned against letting dialogue decline and allowing irrational voices to spread fake news and dogmatic claims. To do this, the Pope explained that study and thoughtful reflection are essential, as are encounters with and listening to the poor. He argued the poor are a treasure both of the Church and of humanity, because they offer perspectives, which are often dismissed, yet are crucial for seeing the world through God's eyes.
Vi raccomando di dare la parola ai poveri.
Give voice to the poor, Pope Leo stressed. He invited the foundation to participate actively and creatively in helping develop the Church's social doctrine, together with the people of God, in this time of great social upheaval, through attentive listening and open dialogue to all. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Russia has carried out a drone strike in northeastern Ukraine, killing 9 people just a few hours after the two countries held their first peace talks in 3 years of war. Stefan Boss has the latest.
Rescue workers struggle near a minibus here after a Russian drone apparently hit it. Local authorities say that most of those killed were elderly women being evacuated from Bilopilya, a town in the Sumy region that has come under repeated Russian attack. Officials say the strike on the bus on Saturday morning with at least one Lancet drone also injured 4 other passengers. It came just hours after the first direct peace talks between Kiev and Moscow since 2022, underscoring the difficulties of reaching a permanent peace settlement. The two sides agreed on a prisoner of war exchange of 1,000 people each in the coming days. However, the Ukrainian delegation insisted on direct talks between the presidents of Ukraine and Russia to reach a permanent peace settlement. That's why the talks broke up inconclusively just after 2 hours. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who traveled to Turkey for the peace talks, was expected to meet with his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin. However, Putin decided to stay away. This meant that Zelensky moved on to Albania's capital, Tirana, for a meeting with European leaders. In Tirana, Zelensky expressed doubts about Russia's willingness to seek peace.
That was ready for a direct meeting with Putin, whether in Ankara or in Istanbul, and not just for a meeting, but to resolve all the important issues, to my mind.
For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Israel launched a major operation in the Gaza Strip today following days of intensive strikes across the territory that killed the hundreds of people. Operation Gideon Chariots, as the Israeli army has named the campaign, comes as a new round of Gaza ceasefire negotiations between Hamas and Israel is underway in Doha, Qatar. Linda Bordoni reports.
Speaking to Reuters on Saturday, a Hamas official confirmed the new round of Gaza ceasefire talks in Qatar and said the two sides were discussing all issues without preconditions. But he added, although all efforts are being made to help mediators make the negotiations a success, there is no certain offer on the table. The negotiations come despite Israel expanding military operations with, quote, great force in the Gaza Strip. The intensified strikes come following Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's pledge earlier in the week to escalate pressure on Hamas with the aim of destroying the militant group. Operation Gideon Chariot also comes in the wake of US President Donald Trump's visit to the region without a stop in Israel. There had been widespread hope that Trump's trip could increase the chances of a ceasefire deal or the resumption of humanitarian aid to Gaza. More than 150 people have been killed in the strikes in the past 24 hours, according to Gaza's health ministry. On Saturday afternoon, at least four children died in an Israeli strike in the Jabalia refugee camp, which is also suffering as the rest of the strip under the Israeli blockade that has let no food, water, fuel or other goods into the territory for over 2 months. Saudi Arabia and Italy joined a chorus of international voices calling for a ceasefire, the rejection of the forceful transfer of Palestinians and the urgent delivery of humanitarian aid to the enclave, in which over 53,000 people have been killed, many of them women and children. The current phase of the Israeli war against Hamas that has long ruled the Gaza Strip follows the 7th of October 2023 militant incursion into southern Israel that killed 1,200 people and saw the abduction of 250 others. I'm Linda Bordoni.
In the Democratic Republic of Congo, over 1,000 disarmed Congolese soldiers and police officers have been safely transferred from the rebel-controlled city of Goma along with their families. Festus Tarawali has the story.
The authorities in the Democratic Republic of Congo have accused neighboring Rwanda's army and the M23 rebel group it backs of killing dozens and kidnapping thousands more this month. They also accused them of committing rape, torture and looting in the war-torn eastern part of the country. The alleged crimes were committed between May 10th and the 13th against civilians accused by the rebels of belonging to the Congolese army and its allied militias, Congo's Interior Ministry said in a statement. The toll includes 107 murders and more than 4,000 men and boys abducted and forcibly loaded onto trucks to an unknown destination, the statement read. The M23 rebels seized the strategic city of Goma, followed by the takeover of the city of Bukavu in February. The fighting has killed some 3,000 people and raised fears of a wider regional war. The accusation by the Congolese authorities comes just days after M23 rebels presented hundreds of captured men at a stadium in Goma. I am Festus Tarawali.
The massive inauguration of Pope Leo XIV's pontificate takes place on Sunday morning. The government of Peru, where the Pope spent much of his missionary life, is sending a sizable delegation to the Mass in St. Peter's Square. As Thaddeus Jones reports, the Peruvian people feel that Pope Leo is one of their own.
The election of Pope Leo XIV has sparked joy and excitement across Peru, a country that feels it has shared in the life and ministry of the new pope. Archbishop Paolo Rocco Gualtieri, Apostolic Nuncio to Peru since 2022, spoke to Vatican Radio about his personal memories of the new pope. He says Peru is rejoicing at the election of Pope Leo XIV, as he's spent the greater part of his life there, gaining profound experience as a missionary, pastor, educator, and bishop. The Vatican diplomat said that Father Prevost back then arrived in Peru as a young missionary priest and taught canon law at the major seminary, also serving two terms as provincial superior. He later became apostolic administrator and bishop of the Diocese of Chiclayo. He truly gave his heart to Peru, said Archbishop Gualtieri, and the apostolic nuncio said Peruvians recall his leadership and compassion during the COVID-19 pandemic and the aftermath of the devastating extreme conditions caused by the El Niño phenomena in 2023. The new pope's presence and commitment during these crises, he added, reinforced his bond with the Peruvian people. For Archbishop Gualtieri, the pope's deep connection to Peru is not just a personal legacy, but also a source of encouragement for a nation grappling with political and social challenges. Archbishop Gualtieri says the people feel very close to him, and it's clear that he's been a pastor who walked with his people. In that shared journey, Archbishop Gualtieri says he sees a sign of hope, saying his election is also a message of encouragement to the Peruvian people at a difficult time. As the Church looks to the leadership of Pope Leo XIV, the Archbishop expressed confidence that his papacy will be marked by a commitment to unity and a synodal collegial Church that walks together as the people of God. As the Pope himself has said, noted Archbishop Gualtieri, the Church is called to bring light into the night of the world. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Pope Leo XIV surprised a few people last Sunday when he belted out the Regina Caeli from the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica, and many didn't know how to sing along to the traditional Marian hymn. The Pontifical Institute of Sacred Music came up with a response in a series of video posts on Instagram teaching people how they can sing with the Pope. Dominican Father Robert Melhart is the Institute's president. He told Vatican Radio about the overwhelming response to his teaching videos, which have received over 500,000 views and can be found on Vatican News' Instagram account.
Regina Caeli, laetare, alleluia. So I think now we have 500,000 views today on our first video in one day. It's absolutely amazing, and I'm still under shock. So yeah, it's amazing.
But how did you come up with this idea?
So the idea was born really in the moment. I saw the Pope addressing his people and he bursted into this Regina Caeli. And most people could join him, but there were clearly people that kind of would liked to have joined him, but they weren't really prepared. And I thought, no, we can help with that.
And what is the challenge of singing during a liturgy in St. Peter's Square or with the Pope?
Well, yes, you can't really hear the others so well. It's open-air singing, so you need to know well your music and to have perhaps a listen beforehand how it really works, what the words are, and how the melody exactly goes.
Could this be a way to remember that singing does not serve to embellish liturgy, but is integral part of the liturgy?
Absolutely. So Christians sing, the lover sings, as St. Augustine reminds us. So cantare amantis est, so and Christians are lovers. They love God, they love their fellow Christians and all mankind. And we burst out in music and in song, in communion with humanity and God.
Thanks there to Dominican Father Robert Melhart, president of the Pontifical Institute of Sacred Music. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.